What is that?
The
what
intro.
Is that? That did not sound. Music. I thought it was like Mission Impossible.
No.
Or the do 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 do.
Not that one. Oh, please don't get that stuck in my head. I used to have that song stuck in my. Oh my goodness, no. Oh, I sang that song all the time as a tween. I was so annoying all the time.
You're still.
Thanks.
You don't sing anymore, but you're still annoying.
I thought you were meaning I'm still a tween.
No, you're okay. Still annoying.
Thanks. Appreciate it. So mean. Is that how you're starting this recording?
Oh, I thought we wanted some sadism and humiliation play.
I don't like humiliation.
No, you don't.
I like... No, I don't like degradation. I don't mind a little bit of objectification that veers onto humiliation, but I don't want to be degraded.
Degraded?
Okay. Yes.
I won't degrade you.
Thanks.
This podcast contains frank discussions about sex, kink, and BDSM. If you're a consenting adult who wants to learn more about these topics, then stay tuned.
You're listening to Chief from kinkyevents.co.uk, helping you create the dom sub dynamic you've always fantasized about.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Conversations with a Dom, where we're going to be talking about another Reddit thread. I discovered this Reddit thread and the title was Wives of Reddit, What is a Sexual Fantasy You Could Never Tell Your Husband? And I was intrigued by this. I love looking at the sex subreddits, as some of you may know from listening to previous episodes. Just because I think we're in a bit of a bubble in that we obviously talk about sex a lot of the time, so I quite like to see what normal people like think as kinky,
yeah,
and where their boundaries lie. Because I'm not sure I have many boundaries, so it's always good to see when they're like, "Oh yeah, I could never tell her I want oral sex," and it's just like, "Oh god." So yes, that's what we're doing. I've read a few of these, and we're just going to scroll through, see some of the answers, and discuss them.
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't seem that enthused by this one.
No, it's... I always wonder if answering Reddit questions is a cop-out method.
Well, yes, we did discuss this, and we asked it on our Discord server, and they were like, no, we actually quite like those episodes. Okay. So.
I mean, I like thinking about Reddit questions and scrolling through subreddits myself, but I do wonder, I'm like, is it just the easy content? Like reaction
is,
channels.
Yes, it is. It is. But we're going to give our thoughts about it. It's a way of prompting discussion.
Yeah.
It is a massive... I've learned so much off Reddit, though.
That's
not
true.
Just sex, just yeah. In general. I think I really love it. I know it's super nerdy, but I really like it. It's my social media. It's the one I waste the most time on. For sure. For sure. but it's more educational than these others. That's what I'm going to claim.
Perhaps.
Yes, yes.
An educational. I mean,
Girls
bubble.
Gone Wild is very educational.
Yes, I'm sure.
I've learnt a lot. Right, so one of the answers, I just want to watch him masturbate or even hear about it later. I think he feels embarrassed about it, though. What do you think? Watching your partner masturbate, hot or not?
Hot. But also, like, I'd feel like I'm intruding in a moment. Somehow, like, I don't know, if I were to just like watch you masturbate, does that not make you feel put on the spot?
And like, are you hiding in the cupboard while I'm doing this, or
I don't know. Well, I know like mutual masturbation is the thing, but
yeah,
it's weird to touch myself. Like, you do a better job of touching myself than I do of touching myself
when
we're together. But perhaps it's not true. Like, I'm very well versed at getting myself off. But when I'm with you, I don't want to be getting myself off, because that ruins, like, it feels so nice and novel to have you touching me. Because then it's every sensation is unexpected, and it's going to be with your rhythm, which is really nice to connect with and not into, yes, like my own habit. Anyways, that's mutual masturbation.
Yeah. But what about the, I'm thinking of going into the kind of it's not begging, but begging. So it's like I'm withholding my cock. So it's like, oh, I get to play with it, but you just have to watch.
Yeah, I think you're not allowed to touch. Kind of played with that before, and it's like. It's attractive watching you play with your cock, but it also, after a while, it's not, because I'm not a very visual person. Or like I am, but I want to be involved in the story and in the, I want the mood to be set. And I know that men are generally more visual and more visually oriented, and just how I would probably read porn more than I would watch porn. I think it's the same sort of thing, like watching my partner masturbate. Like, yeah, it looks all right, but like I want to be involved. If anything, it's more frustrating and annoying. I'm like, for fuck's sake, just let me touch it.
So maybe, well, that's kind of what I was meaning. If it's a bit of power play, like, you know, you have to just kneel there and watch, and you can't, because sometimes I put my cock quite near your mouth and I'll hold hair so that you can't get it. Yeah. I know it's not quite the same as what they're talking, you know, they're not really talking about kink here, but I guess it could be, though, she's also said, hear about it later.
Yeah.
So me describing myself playing what I did, I'd feel like, awkward doing that.
Exactly. I wouldn't mind hearing about it. And I think it would be a fun way to connect.
But I'd be like, as a guy, it's like, well, yeah, I just lay there and I stroked it a few times and I came. Like, what do you want to know?
Well, I think it's the same my way around. Like, yeah, I was rubbing myself through my panties and it took about 15 minutes and it felt nice. And then my toes curled and then I went to sleep.
I think it's what you're thinking about. Yeah. That's what I would want to know.
You want to know about the fantasy. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
The act of touching yourself. Well, actually, it's vision. Like when I see it, I like that. I like to know. It is hot, like seeing someone play themselves, because it's not the act itself. It's the knowing that they are sex positive enough and open enough to be comfortable with that. That's the turn on.
Yeah, I think it. I don't know if you've ever like, or you have. Told me before to like touch myself, but generally within a scene, and after a couple of seconds I generally stop because I'm like too slippery, or like I'm exhausted because it's after we've actually had sex and you're trying to get me off, but it's like by that point my arousal isn't what it was, or I'm not like, my body's not going to be wanting me to touch myself when I'm with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. But also it's like being put on the spot. Like I'm going to find it really, really difficult to try to touch myself to orgasm if you're just like there watching me.
I think if you said, oh, you know, play with yourself, I'll watch, and you weren't, if you're just sitting there fully clothed, I would struggle.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Like what am I supposed, like, am I trying to go into my fantasies, and then are you part of those fantasies? And if you're not, then that feels awkward almost. And then like, am I going to have to try to put your voice into, like, I don't know.
Yeah. So it's probably not one we do, but we do I will tell you to play with yourself over text.
Yeah.
So we'll do that kind of thing.
That's more fun.
Because there's less pressure because I can't see you. And I don't think we've done it over like video chat.
Like, no, but think about the chin angles.
I know, it's not the best angle. I have done it in the past, but it's a bit uncomfortable. It's not uncomfortable. It can be quite hot. I think it can be quite hot, but it's...
We actually did do it over video like once way early in the pandemic, lockdown times. And I remember like, I don't think we showed faces. It was just like chests. you could see that hands were moving, but that was about it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But but again, this is the thing. We're not absolutely, I wouldn't even say this is a kink, and we're not being disparaging of this. Like, this is absolutely something that if you want to do it, you should speak to your partner about it.
I'm sure because your partner would be excited.
Yeah, yeah. And I would, if you said it to me, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, that's disgusting. No, I'd certainly be open to it, and I would probably do it, give it a go. Yeah, flattered. I think any guy would be very flattered about it.
I just immediately jumped to logistics with things like this. Yeah. So my apologies.
But it's because it's normally the other way around. It's normally man wants to see the woman. That's kind of generally how we think. So I think this person would be very flattered if she said it to them. So on the kink scale, I don't think this is very high up. It's not even talking about anything too explicit. So, yeah.
Are we rating this on the kink, on some sort of kink scale?
I was going to rate it on like how extreme is this request from her to him. And I'd say it's like a 2 out of 10.
Yeah. On our scale, I'd say this is very, very low.
Yeah, yeah. But it can be quite... One of the reasons I wanted to go through this thread is because there will be more extreme things, but it's nothing to be embarrassed about, nothing you... In fact, she actually says, I think he feels embarrassed about it.
Mm.
So I don't know if she's asked him and he's kind of felt embarrassed about it, but you shouldn't be embarrassed or... worried. You should be able to talk about these kind of things to your partner, ideally.
Definitely.
Ideally. And if they say, no, I'm not into that, that's fine. But it's more the being able to have that conversation, I think, is important.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at another one. I want to hear him moaning and saying stuff while he's fucking me, and I want him to be spontaneous. So I've heard this a lot, that moaning is a thing. Women want to hear guys moan.
Not moan so much as a like groan.
What's the difference between a moan and a groan?
A moan is, and a groan is
a female moan, a feminine vocalization.
A groan is, I can't do a groan. that's
like an animalistic growl.
No, not a growl. Okay. A groan. Like you groan sometimes during sex, where you're just like, oh,
like okay, so it's like, oh, that's the difference between a moan and a groan.
I just think that a moan is more like it's like the stereotypical woman eating yogurt on a commercial. It's going, and that like, I'm like, I'd rather hear a little bit of, you're finding whatever we're doing so, physically enjoyable, yeah, and so arousing as a sensation that it happens to, yeah, be vocalized.
Yes.
Well, however that vocalization comes out, I suppose. But if you were to say something, I might, yeah, depending on the vocalization, I think the response would be varied.
Mm. But it's definitely something I've seen in a lot of threads, not just this thread, where women are like, oh, I wish he moaned more. I wish he made more noise.
It's validating, right? To have a partner,
yeah, you're right,
saying, like, vocalizing their enjoyment.
Yes. It's like when men want to hear the woman moan because it means we're doing a good job.
Yeah. And actually, I think over time, I've become a little bit more free with my vocalizing when we're having sex. At the beginning, I was very silent and couldn't, yeah, even say anything. Now, like, if something feels good, it's not like I'm trying to make the sound, but I feel like my voice is almost liberated. Like I can, if I do want to make a sound, but you but I'm not trying to like force out the sound.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
I'm not, yeah, not trying to like fake moan, but the moans come out way more freely than, yes, they did when we, yes, first started having sex.
So I remember reading a theory about why women make more noise during sex. Do you know this?
No.
I don't know if it's a theory or there is evidence, but some evolutionary biologists, it's called involuntary copulatory vocalization. And it is because, as a woman, you want the best genes and DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in the animal kingdom. And they see that all female species tend to make more noise than the males. And it's to attract other males.
I was wondering,
to
is
alert
it like a,
that you're having sex,
yeah, to
bring
let
other
others
males.
Know that, by the way, this is happening.
Yes.
And
they,
hey,
can come and
is,
fight off the male that, yeah, is currently with you.
But also, whatever's going on is quite, I would think that it's quite good. So like, can, it's both announcing that you're having sex and maybe like a challenge, like, can you do better? Can you make me
make
more noises?
Yeah. Yeah, it's to attract the other males so that the strongest one will knock the other one out
of
the way.
How frustrating, though. Can you imagine? Begin. I mean, obviously, this is taking a biological component. And if I'm going back to, like, very early Homo species or whatever. But, like, how annoying if you're sitting there, like, in your cave currently, like, getting a really nice... You're almost about to come. And then, like... Gog like bashes your boyfriend over the head with a club, and you're like, for fuck's sake, I was 10 seconds away from coming.
He doesn't care. He just,
oh, that would be annoying. Yeah. Like, you better do better. You know, if you think you can go ahead and push off this guy, you better do better.
Yeah. So that's the theory. I think it might have been Sex at Dawn, that book, although I read some other studies that debunk a lot of what's in Sex at Dawn. So
I've heard that there's just different theories that are approaching the same thing from different angles.
Yeah, it does make sense. I mean, women definitely make a lot of noise, and sometimes they don't even know it. I remember I was dating someone for a little bit years ago, and they made so like
annoying
but screams
of noise.
It's like shrieks.
Yeah.
And it was I can't even replicate it. It wasn't a moan or it was just like a piercing scream, and I couldn't deal with it. I was just like, you're literally waking up at least four neighbors away.
See, that I think that there's a lot of repressed sort of, if you start touching yourself, like when you're first discovering your sexuality, you have to keep it quiet because you're not wanting other people to hear it anyways. And so sometimes a lot of that like sort of stigma or guilt then transfers over as you mature.
Yeah, I think
sexuality.
Most people don't want other people to know they're having sex, I'd say, on the whole. But again, I've had other partners who, they would open all the windows.
Yeah.
They want everyone to hear, and they make a lot of noise on purpose because part of their kink is having other people hear.
When I watch porn, I watch it on mute because there's nothing as off-putting as hearing fake moans or
common.
Whatever. Like, it's the sound of the people having sex can totally put me off. So even though the movements might be really arousing and I can like imagine myself in a similar scenario or try to use that as part of my fantasy, the moment one of them opens their mouths to speak or say some line or just start moaning, in whether it's real or fake, I don't want to hear it. So porn is on mute almost all the time.
Agreed. So this one, again, I think more guys should make noise. And they also mention saying stuff. So I assume they mean dirty talk. We talk about this. We've got articles on this and courses on how to dirty talk. So
I love, by the way, when you make noise during sex, it's really hot. It's definitely a turn on, especially when you say like phrases, either praising me or saying how much you're enjoying yourself or how good I feel.
I need some new phrases because I feel like I use the same ones a lot. I'm like, I said this. Like,
they work. You don't like, good girl will always work. And saying how good I feel or how much you've missed this, that always
plays into the objectification as well.
Yeah, but also like, you're just enjoying our time together, which is validating. It makes me think that, like, oh, good, you know, like, phew.
But we blur the lines between praising you, but also then praising your body parts.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, oh, you know, I love being able to take my hole or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I'm like objectifying you and claiming like it as well.
And claiming me in that process.
Yes.
You know, it does good things for me. So keep it coming.
Yes, so literally. So yeah, guys, more noise. And again, I don't think this is again like a 2 out of 10.
I wouldn't say this is very kinky. No.
Well, it's not about kinky. It's about how difficult would it be to ask your partner for this? I don't think.
No, I think you would just come up with that struggle of people being perhaps a little bit self-conscious about it.
So I've got some tips. This, if you want to make your partner talk dirty to you, write down some phrases and give it to them and say, I want you to say these to me. Rather than getting them to come up with the phrases, because they, especially if they're quite vanilla, they may have no clue. They don't know what you like. Again, there's so many different words that can be offensive to some people. Mm. Like slut, a lot of people don't like that, but they go crazy for whore, or bitch they hate, and whore they like. It's so varied. So you write the phrases, you give them to him and say, look, here's the list of words that
really
turn me on.
Well, it doesn't even have to be words. Easy, dirty talk. You just explain what you're doing or what sensations you're liking.
I'm now inserting my penis into your vagina.
You laugh, but then some horrible erotica writers write like that, and then that totally turns me off of their book.
Well, exactly, turns you off. So this is what I'm saying. But get your partner to write you the phrases that they want to hear.
I'm just an easy dirty talk phrase is something like, ooh, that feels so nice. Who doesn't want to hear that?
Mm.
You know, like you can just say how you're feeling, like what you're enjoying. And if you're trying to get your partner to respond, you can ask questions. You can be like, what does it feel like to you? Imagine like if you're trying to get the guy to say something about the sex that you're doing, you could ask him in the sex act, be like, you know, how does it feel? Mm. Or
You can tease it out of them.
Yeah. How wet am I? Or I don't know. You know, and then like that they could respond. Don't try to have a very analytical, very
it's a fine line when people do that, because they're like you can't think how hard moment. Does my pussy make you? And you're like, very hard. I mean, what you can only say very, like there's literally nothing else you can say. And it's like, do I turn you on? No. Like I mean, you're being like forced down this.
You have to be careful with the questions, but I think you can
ask
open-ended questions that are not extremely complex to answer.
Yes.
You know, just how does it feel? Yeah. Does it feel good?
Agreed.
There you go.
Agreed. But just say to him, look, I want you to talk dirty to me more and here are some ideas. I don't think
say it over ice cream, you know, be on it. Out on a date or something and be like, I want to hear more dirty talk. And I don't think you're going to get a bad answer from that.
Yeah. What else have we got? I'd like for my husband to initiate in a public place a bit of under the table action before leading me to the bathroom or secluded place. And he takes from me from behind without a word exchanged. And then we carry on as if nothing happened. Less control I have, the better.
Oh, that's really fun. Let's do it.
And then someone's put, this backfired terribly for my wife and I when we were dating. We absconded to a bathroom at a house party, hopped in the shower, closed the slide and proceeded to start to get sexy. As it turns out, one of us failed to lock the door to the bathroom. In the middle of sexy time, another party goer came in and spent 10 minutes grunting out a number two while we stood still, desperately trying not to burst out laughing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then, so there we go. Locked the door. And then you have to, like, how long do you wait after that to leave the bathroom to make it not look like you were all in there together?
Public sex, so obviously there's some rules against indecent exposure, so be careful. But
under the table play, fun.
Yeah.
We haven't done much of that.
Mm.
We could do more. I wouldn't be opposed.
Yeah, it's tricky because you got to sit next to them generally or at a corner where you're on two sides of the...
And it needs to be dark enough that no one's going to see and crowded enough that no one's going to notice, and possibly a tablecloth or not, depending on the height of the table and where you are.
Yes. No underwear. If you go out wearing no underwear and a skirt, it makes it a lot easier.
You can do it with underwear, though. And in fact, so guilty confession here.
You prefer underwear.
I think everyone knows that. If you don't, by the way. I like the friction of underwear. No, but a nice little porn subject is... It's not even a theme of porn, really. It's just in certain porn that I watch, they use the underwear to like restrain the thighs together by just pulling it down ever so slightly, and then you can't pull your legs apart. And so having your legs like firmly, like you're tied to, it ends up being like bondage almost, being restrained with your panties.
Yeah.
Which is super hot. And also the idea of you putting your hand down my panties that I'm wearing feels more taboo than me going without panties.
Interesting.
You know, it's the idea that I'm wearing panties, so it's the social ideas that I'm not about to be having any sort of sex.
Yes. It's just the logistics. Because
if
they're there, if you're like wearing jeans, you can sort of get in the top. But if you're wearing a skirt and underwear, it's really tricky to get around the side.
You can figure it out. Part of it is the tightness and the friction and like, how are you going to slip my panties to the side, or are you going to stick your fingers underneath in some
and
way?
And then you get a wrist ache because your wrists are like a really weird angle.
Well, that sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, so train your wrists at the gym, guys. Wrists and forearms, because it's like a weird angle.
Those wrist gripper things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, public play is fun. But they're talking about full-on sex as well, so...
Or are they just talking about getting
frisky? So the thing with me is bathrooms are always pretty gross.
Yeah.
And they don't...
Well, they said secluded space as well.
They said secluded space, yes. But, I mean, in London, it's very rare to find secluded space. If you're like... Maybe if you lived in the country, you could go around the side of the pub and no one would be there.
Fine. And it wouldn't smell like piss.
Yeah, but in a bathroom, I'm like, I don't like to touch anything in there as it is. I did get kicked... I don't think I've told you this. I did get kicked out of a women's bathroom for having sex in it once.
No.
I was so drunk.
Oh, God.
I don't really remember it, but I know that I'd been out with a friend who I was not dating, but sort of casually seeing. And then we both really got drunk and I led her into the women's bathroom. Now, normally I would never do this because I'd be like, one, everyone's going to see us. And two, there's a queue. But from what I remember, I just walked, took a hand, walked straight into the stall.
You were so drunk.
I was so drunk. I don't drink anymore, but I was so drunk. And then we just went in the stall. And then we had a knock on the door going, excuse me, sir.
Yeah, before I could even do anything.
Now, I don't know if they thought we were doing drugs or how they'd even found us. Or because obviously there was a line
outside.
You
probably literally just wandered in past everyone. And we're like, yep.
Yeah, but then they would have had to go upstairs, get a bouncer. Or I don't know whether we were in there for a long time. We might have been. I don't know. Or they thought we were doing drugs.
You in the middle of having sex?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I mean, it was only like quick from what I remember, but...
It's really funny. How old were you?
This was five or 6 years ago, maybe.
Oh, you weren't young
at
all.
Oh, this wasn't young.
Oh,
no. This was like, I'm 41 now, so this was late 30s.
Dear, that makes it worse.
But this is all the stuff I was making up for that I didn't get to do in my teenage years.
Oh, bless you. But that makes it worse, because I can excuse that behavior from like... A 23-year-old or something.
I know.
But like from a 35-year-old, it's not quite the
same. It's the first time I've ever done it. First time I've been kicked out of a place.
Oh, man. Were you super embarrassed?
Well, no, because I couldn't see straight and I was super drunk. So, but yeah, no way I'd do that sober. No way. I'd be too worried about everyone seeing and hearing. So, yeah, that was fun.
Wow.
But yeah, and it's gross. So
it is gross.
I like the idea of it. It's hot. I like the idea of public sex and having a quickie somewhere. But again, a lot of these practicalities make it difficult.
It would be nice to go to a party that's not necessarily a sex party, but if it were a party that everyone there agreed that if sex happened, it would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you could go in a secluded corner when you want to and have a nice little against the wall sex.
It would be great.
You know, that would be nice. And you know that there are people in the other room, but...
It was kind of like Torture Garden, people just without the kink. Without the fetish, we'd want it. Yeah. And then you got people with phones nowadays. That's the trouble.
It's
like
all logistics.
Nowadays, people would be filming over the top of it, and so yeah,
so it'd be a no phones allowed party. We can make it happen.
We can So yeah, again, I can't think of a man that would be not turned on if you said this was my fantasy. Like, again, I'm obviously I can't speak for all men, but I don't think this is something that
it sounds like a compliment. That you
Yes, it's like, I want you to take me so much that you can do it anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's the less control I have, the better. So very, you know, DS type thing here. Yeah. Yeah.
Well done, you.
Yeah, but she hasn't told him. So.
Oh, wow.
No, well done, you. No. Go and tell him right now.
Don't shame.
I'm not shaming. No, I'm not shaming. But again, I don't think this is particularly uncommon. When I first saw the title, I thought this was going to be like, yeah, I really want to like... fist him in the arse, and I thought it'd be like super extreme.
Yeah,
but it's not.
But it's just people saying that they want to have sex more with their partner in all sorts of ways,
and they really fancy them, which is great. It's very lovely. Getting fucked while also giving him head.
That's a threesome.
But duplicate himself. I don't want a threesome with anybody else. So basically she wants to duplicate him.
Yeah, the twincest. Yes. Or not twincest, it's self... Oh, what's the term? There's some term in fan fiction for this exact...
Well, she's not cloning herself, she's cloning
her
husband.
No, I know, but there's a term for that. That's it's a very common
who wouldn't want
fan
that?
Fiction trope.
Who wouldn't want
But then sometimes it ends up where you have to end up killing your clone. Just, it gets
fuck
dark.
To death.
Yeah.
Obviously that one's not possible.
I mean, like, having your partner doubled, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Think about all of the things that you'd be able to do, and it would be drama-free as well. All threesome scenarios would all of a sudden be less drama.
Mm. Yeah.
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 Sounds great. Let's do it.
Come on, Elon.
Oh, God.
Create a cloning device.
Please don't. Don't get Elon involved.
All right. If you had an identical twin, would you?
No. That gets really dark and that gets into actual like fucked up incest real quick.
But I've seen porn where the porn stars are identical twins. And I'm like, is that legal? They're not.
It's not legal.
But they're not touching. They're not really touching each other.
It gets into. Actual incest is frowned upon for reasons.
Yeah, of course.
This and twincest is...
But they're not having sex with each other.
That doesn't matter. Imagine if your mum were in the room with you having sex and encouraging that.
Okay, well...
There you go!
If I was with someone and they had an identical twin and they both wanted to have sex with me, I would not say no, that's incest. I would say yes, bring it on.
Okay, if you were with someone and... they wanted to pull in one of your siblings. How would you feel about
that? Well, I think if my sibling was identical and thought exactly like me, then I think
but
it would probably be
identical
right.
Twins don't think alike. They're not clones.
Yeah, but
this is insulting to all twins out there.
No, but if I'm pretending that the clone is... I'm pretending my twin thinks like me. Very
yes,
similar.
Yes, okay, still. I mean, actually, on this note, I did read a really... interesting pop tabloid type article about a set of twins who are in a polyamorous relationship with the same person, and they are living their life and they coordinated their pregnancies and everything. Bizarre.
No, that's not really a turn on.
But yeah, let's keep actual incest out of right. things and keep it to the fantasy.
All right. Actually, I'd love it if my partner would go down on me more often. You've said that.
I have said that. And it's worked.
Went down on you last night.
It's my feedback has been taken into consideration and has been acted upon. Yay.
Yeah. Be more, love to go down on me more, be more rough, slap my ass, talk dirty to me, face fuck me. Just being more kinky.
This is getting more into the realm of I can understand why they would struggle to ask their husband this.
Yes, it's a lot harder to say to someone, I want you to fuck my face or be more rough with me. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you never know how it's going to be received.
We do have some tips on how to do this, though.
Loads.
In the course.
Multiple guides.
The Art
as well.
Of Submission.
And in the
full
sex
course
menu.
For subs. And if you go on kinkyevents.co.uk, you can search for, I think, like, make him more dominant or make my partner more dominant. And there's lots of tips there as well.
And there's also the guide of how to have kinky conversations or talk about your core desires as well, which is also very useful for the same thing. Sometimes you may struggle to voice what it is that you want to explore, but you can try to pull out the core essence of what it is that act is and explain that to your partner and then let them kind of fill in the blanks.
Yes. I love that this has 69 replies as well, this one.
Stop replying, everyone.
Yeah, and then someone's replied, all things I didn't find out about my girlfriend for months because she was too shy to admit it. She also later requested light choking, biting, and hair pulling. Our sex life has never been better since she opened up to me about these things and a few others.
Congratulations.
So yeah, again, I think men are far filthier. Like the kind of things we think about, I think women would be quite disturbed.
I disagree based off of my own mind.
Okay, okay.
I've had some talks
No, but you actually women. Want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah. I don't think this stuff is...
But I
think they would have thought about this. Most men would have thought about this kind of stuff, about being more aggressive and dominant.
But even then, are they talking to their partners? It's this the same, like, no, how not. Do you talk to your partner
no, you wouldn't,
about this stuff?
Because it's hard to bring up and because you don't know what they're going to say.
Yeah.
And even I've had it in relationships. You can't bring it up because if you've started the relationship in a kind of vanilla way on a classic dating site, it's just scary to bring this kind of stuff up. Yeah. Or it certainly was when I was younger, and it's harder now for
I
sure.
I think any conversation about sex has a level of difficulty with your partner, and it's like any conversation you can have is something to feel really proud of. Like, I applaud anyone who can go out and have these conversations because they're not easy. Even though we talk about this all the time, there are still things that like we struggle to say to each other, or like you want to hedge around the issue, or you think that they're going to judge you even though you have said it, you think that they're still judging you. And it takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage to have these conversations. So
it does.
I mean,
it's not easy. It's easy by any means.
Yeah,
we're not saying
really
it's easy.
I really feel for everyone who's trying to have these conversations with
their
partner.
But you can practice it, and it is a skill that you can learn.
Yeah.
And yeah, tips, if you're going to have these kinds of discussions, don't judge what they're going to say. Don't judge what they say. Even if it's something you're not into, that's okay. You just say, no, that's not for me. But you don't shame them for thinking those things. Because normally the way someone will go about this is they'll hint at it, or they'll say the mildest version of it. So in this case, she wants to be face fucked. So she might say, I'd really like to do, you know, a bit more oral, but could you like maybe, I want you to go deeper. And then they will see your reaction to that. And if you're like, oh no, like, why would you want to do that? She's not going to then reveal everything else, and it's immediately going to shut it down. And definitely. Then she's going to feel really bad. So don't do that. Just say, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more about it. And again, you might not be into it, but you can say, look, I'm so glad that you were able to share that with me. I think it must be real, really difficult. It's really great that you were tell me. It's not really my thing, but maybe we could try this variant. Yeah.
And you might find over time that your limits that you previously set have changed or, you know, become a little bit more flexible. I know that some of my soft limits have already changed, and some of my hard limits are no longer hard limits.
What's the hard limit that's changed?
I think like temperature play. I know I had that as a hard limit because of the sensations. Generally, my body feels pain and my muscles lock with cold sensations, and the idea of my muscles locking and being in pain made it a hard limit. But you've touched me sometimes when your hands have been cold, or like when your tongue has been cold because you were drinking a Diet Coke right before, and it's a pleasant sensation. So like, obviously I've learned that there are some things that can feel good. It's just a matter of finding the variant that is still workable.
I'm just trying to think.
Like rough anal, I don't know if I ever had it as a hard limit. I think at the very beginning I might have said that anal was a limit, and now it's one of my favorite activities.
I'm trying to think if I've got any. My hard limits are all generally around like needles, medical play, cutting, that kind of stuff. I don't think that's changed. I'm not sure if any of my hard. I don't think if those have changed.
I've definitely had a lot of soft limits that have changed though,
and
the more I learn about a kink, the less intimidating it feels. So I think that's something to keep in mind. And even if that's
yourself.
Something that stays in my fantasies, all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, somehow this writer was able to make this kink that I thought was unappealing suddenly appealing in how they wrote it. And so that makes me question that whole kink altogether. Like, feet. I don't generally like feet. But you really like to get your feet massaged. And so I started learning
that's
how
not
to...
a kink. It doesn't turn
no,
me on.
No, 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 no.
Okay, well, I feel I know, like I always have to clarify that. I don't have a fetish.
But I had like a foot aversion. And I started learning how to massage your feet until I really enjoyed giving you a foot massage. And
then I didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't like feet. All right, I used to not like feet at all. And so it was really like... But I wanted to give you a foot massage because I knew how much you liked it. And then I actually read a couple of literaticas about foot fetishes and how they were described about like kissing the toes or like worshiping the feet. And and it was really appealing to me. And I was like, oh, that does actually sound quite nice to get like my toe sucked or something.
I think that's an example of reframing it, isn't it? You've reframed that activity into a... maybe a worship activity, and worship plays into the power play. So that
perhaps
link.
The whole idea of using, of like playing with feet in a sexual setting and like sucking on toes or something, where previously I would have been like, that's repulsive. And now I'm like, oh, I can actually see the appeal to that.
With it's a not
freshly,
repulsive. I've
freshly
sucked on...
washed foot.
Yeah.
You know,
I've sucked on toes. I don't, again, it doesn't really do anything for me, but
it feels good to the person getting their toe sucked.
For some, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can be like, if you're, so if you're, if the, again, talking heterosexual relationship here, if the woman's on the back with the, and the man's kneeling on the bed and their legs are over, if your legs were over my shoulders and you're fucking them, the toe is just there.
It's ripe and ready for the taking.
You're just like, oh, okay, I'll try this. Oh, yeah, it doesn't taste too bad. It just tastes like finger, I guess. It's the same.
It tastes like skin.
Yeah, it tastes like skin.
Yeah.
I think people, a lot of people though, don't like feet. They don't like their own feet. They don't like the way they look. They think it's weird. I don't know if this is, it must be a, I think there must be some biological reason why. It seems to be women that, again, I know I'm stereotyping this, but a lot of my female friends don't like feet for some reason.
I think it goes to like footwear and especially like open-toed shoes, and then you just think about how unsanitary it is, and like there's a lot of thoughts. It's a lot to unpack.
But I think more men have foot fetishes than women.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before in a previous podcast.
Because of the baby crawling around looking at their mum's feet.
No, because where your foot neurons in your brain are located, it's right next to genital neurons in your brain. And in a lot of brains, there are crossfires.
I've got dick neurons in my head.
yeah, you do, and they're right next to the foot neurons.
What do
and
they
sometimes,
do?
It that sensation, any sensation that's felt in the genitals, it goes to the brain where you feel the sensation. No, and so basically, your feet are right next to the genitals, like
this is reflexology almost, right?
No, but this is like where the sensations are felt in the brain when they've like done like the tests or whatever. Anyway, but it's an area of the brain that it's really easy to have crossed sensations.
Yeah.
That's apparently part of the foot fetish.
Yeah.
So it doesn't go to some Freudian thing. It's like literally just like, where is it mapped in the brain?
Okay. But that doesn't explain why more men have foot fetishes than women.
And
again,
maybe they have more of their wires crossed.
I'm making this,
I don't know,
that up, but I'm pretty sure that... Yeah, one psychologist I went to talk about was saying they think it's because the mum obviously takes care of the kids. And so the kids are always... Because if you think about it, more men have like stocking fetishes, feet fetishes. And why is that? Who has a hat fetish? Very few people. Because the babies are crawling around, they're looking at their mom's feet.
Once we start getting into Freudian stuff, Freud doesn't have an answer to everything.
No, all right.
But there are interesting
things.
It
makes logical sense, but I can...
And I think, honestly,
feet
are a very sensitive part of the body with a lot of sensations built in. So I can see why people want to feel that in a nice way, and that pleasant sensation turns into a sexual sensation.
Yeah. Changing the topic slightly...
Yeah.
Away from feet. It's a related topic. I found, and I think also Esther Perel talks about this, who wrote...
Come As You Are.
Nope.
No, sorry.
No.
That's Emily Nagoski.
Yeah.
My apologies.
She's done a great TED talk and she...
Mating in Captivity,
yeah. And she always talks about, as you get to know someone, you can fall out of attraction with them because you become more intimate, and intimacy kills that attraction. But what I've also found is the more you know someone, the more, in a way, it's more difficult to admit or share what you enjoy sexually, because there's a higher risk of that there's more, if they did leave, it's a higher cost.
Yeah.
So if you're on a, if you're on like date number five with someone and you got the courage up and you're just like, oh, I really want you to fuck my face, or it's a one night stand, you'd be more, in some ways, willing to share that information with a complete stranger, because you know you're never going to see them with them. And even if they think you're a horrible person, it's a low cost. Who cares?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're married and you're going out for this person for 20 years and you suddenly say it to them, if they were like, who is this person? I want to leave you. That is a huge cost. And I've found that a little bit with us as well. Like some of the, when I'm dominating you, there's part of me that's like, it's harder because I see you more as a human. Does that make sense? Like, I know that's...
Yeah, no.
Do you know what I mean? I don't mean
it
that.
Sounds awful, but it makes sense.
Yeah, like I know more of your personality. I know your values. I know,
and you don't want
you're to. More of a human than if we were on a fifth date where I only know parts of you.
You care more about my feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, than you perhaps would have at the beginning.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's easier to talk about really filthy fantasies with someone you just met.
Yeah,
and
I don't see that as weird because...
No, but my question is, how do we overcome that? Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have heard some really sad stories about people within our own community who they've shared their feelings with their partner, with their husband, you know, of multiple years or whoever. And that relationship has broken down to the point of divorce and... splitting of lives apart, you know. Yeah. and it's sad to see, and it's happened multiple times, so this is definitely an issue that people are facing.
Well, it's also why you want to talk about this stuff as soon as possible and make it a part of your relationship from the start.
But how you can try to avoid that sort of rupture, I think it has to come with having more conversations that are kind of like stage one, you know, like if you were to go to someone and blurt out your dirtiest fantasy, if they didn't understand the why behind that fantasy, I think they'd be much more likely to judge it as being something harsh or disgusting. And imagine if that person didn't know anything about kink and didn't know, like, so you're just there with their preconceived notions, and of course there's going to be judgment there. So if you're trying to tell someone who's been miseducated or misinformed about a kink and seeing it as like morally wrong, then of course the likelihood of them rejecting you is much higher.
Yes, I agree, but I'm talking about specifically the situation where you know your partner is 100% okay talking about this kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's still
difficult.
As you get to know them. Do you not find that? Like, it's...
There are some things that are hard to tell you. Yeah. Because, I don't know, because I'm still worried in the back of my head that if a rejection happens, then that's me fucked.
Yeah, but would you tell a random person, like...
Yeah, I totally
exactly,
would.
Exactly. But and this is
also
what I don't
thing, like.
Because I do it as well.
I'd tell a stranger, like, it's so easy to go to some stranger psychologist and blurt out your entire life story, because you can be so blasé
so
about it.
So how do we fix it?
You can be like, oh, here's all the trauma from my past. And I am always very comforted in the fact that I'm never going to see this person again.
Yes, because the stakes are higher.
Yeah.
So my question, back to my original question, how do we, what strategies?
I think you have to build a reassuring, loving environment full of affirmations.
Yeah, but we have that.
No. But actually, like, if I'm going back to my stranger talking to like a psychologist or whatever, I'm always comforted the fact that they're not going to judge me again in the future because I'm never going to see them again. That lets me be more free.
Yeah.
And I think if I were to want to share something with you, I'd have to ask you, be like, I want to share something that's really vulnerable to me. And can I get some reassurance before I even tell you that you're going to take this with, you know, an open mind? And I also want you to please give me some words of encouragement and also give me some validation as I'm telling you. That way I don't feel like I'm in a flight or fight sort of mentality, yes, you know? Yes. Like, I'd really want you to be, like, affirming me the entire way and being like, well done, or like, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a good strategy, for sure. Because it definitely does happen, even during sex. It's like some of the more extreme things we do, it's like, it's weirdly, it was easier to do at the start.
Yeah.
Because now, well, I guess we also spend more time together. So the switch, and I still find it difficult, the switch from everyday life into DS and where that boundary is, beyond like setting a date and going out, this time we're going to go and have sex, you know, just the more of the 24/7 power play.
It's always in flux, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, just a thought, yeah. I had.
Interesting.
Mine aren't really sexual. I want a really nice massage and to be held like a baby until I fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. Don't we all?
The reply, bunch of dirty cuddle sluts in this thread. And it's pretty adorable, really.
We just want to be told that we're loved and appreciated and held. That's like top.
I like this one. I want him to sneak up behind me, restrain me, and then make me come repeatedly for an hour straight.
For an hour? I mean, like, yeah, come repeatedly. That sounds hot.
And make sure you hydrate first.
Yeah. How far can you go? You've never taken me to my breaking point yet, even that one time that I wanted you to make me cry.
You cried twice, I think.
Oh, no. Not cry. Sometimes the sensation is overwhelming and I do just cry recently. But I mean, like, when you were teasing me with the vibrator and, like, I wanted to be begging you to stop, but I wanted you to still go further because that's playing into the, like, you're the dom. Like, you can take me to places that I cannot go on my own.
Yeah.
Or I cannot go alone, like, without you forcing it. And it's the idea, like...
Well, after you've come, just keep it.
Just
keep it on it.
Keep going. Mm. Just keep going. But the thing is, I think your endurance ran out.
My hand gets tired.
Yeah. We were in an awkward position. And so it requires...
I need to be sitting down. Yeah. Maybe in an armchair.
But
you
at some point, it would be nice to be just, like, absolutely... steamrolled with sensation and just like forced. It's the post-orgasm torture that I'm really interested in.
Yeah,
but again, it's logistics.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's
not out of the question, that one at all.
No,
I mean, we've tried a bit, but I guess I'll have to go further next time.
I'm not complaining of what we have done.
No, not at all. And again, I think this is the other thing, when people say what they want to their partner, they think their partner will... They worry the partner will interpret it as criticism. Mm. Or if you do get feedback from your partner, you base what you're hearing is, you're not good enough. I want you to do better. But yeah, that's not how that came across to
me. Okay, good.
Not at all, no. I like it. I like it when we have new ideas and things to try, because it's... How
we
else do I know?
We haven't done all the things on our list of things that we've discovered that we want to try.
Well, I've got a list down. Like, that's why I made a list last night. Like, got it downstairs.
We have a running list of things that at some point in the future, when the timing is right and when all the stars align, we would like to do.
I know, that's why I want to talk about them.
Yeah. Nice.
I think the moral of the story is, you should be able to talk about your partner about these things. Perhaps the thing that you're thinking is super extreme and you could never talk about, actually... your partner has done it before or really wants it to, and you could be saving a lot of time by admitting it now, or not even admitting it, by telling them now than in 5 years' time. And even that thing that you think is way extreme and there's not a chance they'd ever want to do that. Maybe they don't, but it will feel better for you once you tell them, and then you would know. And there's a 50-50 chance you'll get what you want.
Oh dear, is that encouraging?
No, maybe more than 50-50. But either way, you'll feel better because it's not a secret anymore that you're hiding. Mm. Of course, there are still, I'm sure there are people that are in the wrong relationships, and there will be repercussions if they said something like that. But, you know, ultimately it's about choosing a partner that is right for you from the start. And that you're sexually compatible with. Not everyone was able to do that. So, yeah, some people, like you were saying, will end up getting divorced when they finally figure out that they are into this stuff and it's a big part of who they are.
I think you have to choose at the end of the day what is more important. Is it sexual compatibility, or are there other things more or equally pleasing and beneficial yes. about the relationship.
Sex isn't everything.
It isn't. And sometimes I think people forget that in their joy of discovering this whole new world, that they want to all of a sudden explore all these possibilities. And at the end of the day, maybe it is worth keeping the relationship that has brought value, and it's just missing that one component. So yep. you have to really measure that up.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you. Good discussion. Hope you have enjoyed it out there. Don't forget to go to kinkyevents.co.uk. Lots of articles on how to talk about this stuff to your partners. If you are more on the subby side of things, we've got the Art of Submission course, which teaches you some of how to do this and how to find a partner that's right for you, how to explore what you're into, because you may not even know. We may have talked about some of this stuff and you've never even thought about it and you actually quite like the sound of it. So we've got some exercises that will help you figure out what it is that you're into. But yeah, that is it. Thanks for listening.
Lots of love and Sphinx, everyone.
Bye.
You're listening to Chief from kinkyevents.co.uk, helping you create the dom-sub dynamic you've always fantasized about.